I've been struggling with a story that I've heard about a month ago. It hits close to home because I'm a pastor. Andrew Stockline was a young pastor, had three young boys at home, his wife Kayla, and they pastor a church, a family about our size. And because of the passing of his father, church ministry stress, and then some personal health issues, on a Thursday afternoon last month, Andrew took his own life at that church. They had a funeral, and Andrew's wife, Kayla, shared these words. "The enemy wants you to feel isolated, unloved, and worthless. I'm here to tell you that you are loved and valued more than you will ever know." Well, Stephanie and I have been praying for her and that church family. We've been praying for you. I wouldn't want this to happen to anybody on our staff, to any leader, or anybody in our church family. It's a tough one. You know, depression affects everyone of all walks of life, all ages, all kinds of backgrounds. It's real. And as a church, we haven't always addressed it in the right way. There's a stigma attached to mental health issues. But can I tell you that mental health does not equal crazy? It's real. Anxiety is real. Depression is real. And over the last 10 years, there's been two times where I can look back now, and when I was in it, I didn't think I was depressed, but there was definitely two seasons of my life that I struggled with it myself. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders defines a major depressive episode as at least 2 weeks of a depressed mood or loss of interest or pleasure in almost all kinds of activities, and accompanied by some of these symptoms: sleep issues on almost a daily basis, changes in appetite and weight, decreased energy or fatigue almost every day, difficulty concentrating, making decisions, and thinking clearly, recurrent thoughts of death or suicide. Now, these symptoms will keep you from functioning. They'll keep you from leading a normal life. They'll keep you from growing in your personal relationship with Jesus. These symptoms are real. Their anxiety disorder is a leading cause of mental health, but depression is not far behind. In fact, 300 million people around the world right now have depression, according to World Health Organization. 16.2 million adults in the United States, that's 6.7% of our population, struggle with depression, have had a major depressive episode in this last year. 1 in 5 children struggle with depression. It used to be that the early onset of depression was age 30. Now it is age 14. Mental health sickness is a real issue. But there is hope. It can be treated. But yet half of those who suffer in silence and don't get the help they need. They don't get the treatment they need. We must address it. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me into the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 2. I'm so glad that you are here today. I'm excited about this series that we're doing called Marathon Faith, Finding Motivation from the Endurance Runners in Hebrews chapter 11. Something in their life, not perfect people, but they overcame something in their life to keep going forward. And what they all had in common, the one phrase that's mentioned 20 times in Hebrews 11, is by faith, by faith. The setting of our scripture that we're going to focus on the mother of Moses, but the background is God fulfilled his promise, and the descendants of Israel multiplied, and they grew, and they became a threat to the countries around them. So the king of Israel, known as Pharaoh, he began to put the Israelites, he made them slaves to his personal construction projects. And then when they continued to grow even more, he created a law that would eliminate and kill all male babies. So this is the background to our story. It says in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 2, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked alongside the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. Verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, can you imagine being the parent of this baby? Could you imagine being so worried about having this dream, this gift that God gives you, and you give birth to life, you give birth to this child? There's a bond there between parent and child that can't be compared to anything else. And so God answers your prayer, and you have this kid, and then it's in the context of stories all around you. Relatives and friends are hearing about their babies being murdered, being beheaded, being stabbed, being killed. It's that unknown that can become the breeding ground to anxiety, fear, and worry. So as a parent, can you just imagine what it would feel like? Like, not just knowing what's going around you, but like placing the baby in the reeds of this river. Like wondering if your baby's going to make it, or if the baby's going to drown, or there's going to be a crocodile in the river, or it's going to be found and murdered like all the others. Can you imagine suffering with that kind of that fear and that worry and anxiety? But there was something inside of this woman, something inside of her that didn't stay in a place of being afraid. She had faith. And her faith was bigger than her fear. And if you're going to finish your race, your faith in God must be bigger than your greatest fear. It must be bigger. So years later, her name is Jochebed. Years later, she would be the one that the author of Hebrews, when he's writing to the Israelites who are afraid and they're tempted to give up. It's this woman that the author is reminded by the Holy Spirit more than other great women like Ruth and Esther and Deborah. It's the mother of Moses that comes to his mind. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not," what? "They were not afraid of the king's edict or command." Most would have been afraid, but these parents weren't. Why? Because their faith was bigger than their fear. And so here's the one thing that you must understand, because the fear can be real, right? Some of you are struggling even right now, and you're afraid of the unknown. You're afraid that the illness will go further on to you or to someone else. You're afraid of letting someone down. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of death. You're afraid that this conflict in a relationship is going to continue on, and you don't have peace, and you're afraid. Here's the one thing that you must know, that when fear is holding you back, you must have faith that God has your back. When fear is holding you back, have faith that God has your back. In fact, I want you to look over at a neighbor and repeat after me right now, all right? I want you to get it inside, get this truth inside of you, all right? So repeat after me. When fear is holding you back, have faith that God will have your back. So why do you need to know this? Because if you stay in that dark place of anxiety and fear, then you're going to stay in the same place, or you're going to take steps backwards. God doesn't want you. Marathon faith is about going forward. It's about not quitting. It's taking one inch at a time, one step at a time, fighting, clawing, doing whatever you can to move forward. The Bible's full of examples who struggled with mental health disorders and anxiety and fear. We don't always talk about them. Even some of the most well-known, like Elijah, great prophet of the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, he was under attack. The scripture says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He acknowledges he's full of anxiety and depression, maybe even has suicidal thoughts. Now, that's a verse we don't read often in church, do we? But it's real. It's there. He struggled. Like even Jesus' own disciples, one of the 12, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, was so full of shame, guilt, depression, didn't want to live anymore, so he took his own life. Peter could have been the same way. He betrayed Jesus. He wept bitterly, but thank God there was redemption. Thank God he didn't give up. Thank God that he put his faith in the Lord, and the Lord redeemed a very broken situation where Peter's life could still have hope and future. My desire for you is that you would have hope. Because my heart would be that if you're struggling right now, that you wouldn't be here and think, you don't know what I'm going through. Because I don't. And I'm not naive to believe that one sermon can fix all of your problems. But I do believe that putting our faith in God is the catalyst, is the source to helping you in a great time of struggle and a great time of need. You must have faith. And when fear is holding you back, that God has your back. But you got to have faith in God. You got to trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord, right? With all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understandings. Because our understanding, our emotions, our feelings, they're not always based on truth, right? But in all of our ways, acknowledge God and He will direct our path. And if you've been struggling with depression, worry, anxiety, discouragement, you've lost your way, that cloud is dark, and you can't see straight, and it looks like you're lost, and you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you're almost at the verge of just giving up hope, have faith. And I don't want that to sound trite, but you must have faith. What is faith? Well, faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is going beyond your ability to see. Because all you see is the problem, right? All you see and replay are the negative thoughts in your mind. Faith is looking past those things that you see onto a God that can redeem, deliver, and save. It's having faith in God to do the impossible. But it's trusting Him. It's trusting in His timing. Because a lot of times we're faced in a trial or we're facing things that fear is gripping our lives. And we want to give up because God is saying no. God is not answering our prayers the way that we would expect or prefer. I mean, can you imagine being the Apostle Paul? Like, remember when he had his encounter with Jesus when he saved him? What happened to Paul? He was blinded, right, for 3 days. But God sent a messenger. He was healed. But historians believe that Paul struggled with his eyesight from that moment forward. God broke him. He was dependent. He did a work in his life. And everywhere that Paul ministered, people were healed supernaturally. Even in the shadow of the apostles, even under handkerchiefs and aprons, there was like people being healed, these miracles. Like, Paul was seeing this. But he writes to the church in Corinth and he says, he's vulnerable. He says, I've got this thorn in my flesh, most likely his eyesight. And he says, I prayed to God 3 times for him to deliver me. And at the end of these prayers and asking God, he comes to this realization. This is what defines his faith. He said, you know what? God is enough. His grace is enough to sustain me even when I'm weak. He is strong. He's having faith that God would use whatever he's going through for his glory. And that's what faith does. Marathon faith does not quit. It doesn't allow our tragedy to be an excuse. What happened in your past does not have to define your future. You must have faith in God that when fear is holding you back, trust that God has your back. While I was praying, I felt like God was leading me to encourage you to have faith in four areas. First, have faith in God's promises. Have faith in God's promises. While I was praying, I felt like God was reminding me to tell you of five promises the Lord wants to give you. We must trust that all of God's promises in Scripture are a yes and amen. Here are the promises I felt like the Lord speaking to me through His Holy Spirit. First, God is in control. God is in control. What's happening to you does not surprise God. But oftentimes, what we're going through causes us to resent or become angry at God because we're focusing on what we see instead of a God who wants to do the impossible. Have you ever been outside and the sun was so bright that you took your hand to block the sun? Have you ever done that? Like, so you don't see it and you have shade. If you keep your hand there long enough, you're not going to be able to see the sun because you can only see the hand. Now, you might be tempted because of a unique perspective to believe that your hand is bigger than the sun. Now, if you said your hand was bigger than the sun, that's foolish, right? That's crazy. That can't happen. The sun is like 850,000 miles in diameter. You could take 109 Earths and it would still be, the sun would be bigger. But the problem is, you can only see your hand. You can only see the problem, and you're fixated on the problem. And what God wants to remind you is that He's in control, and that you need to take your hand away from the problem and see the God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the God whose source of all of life and all of creation is the hand that is lifting you up. Trust in God. Trust and have faith that He is in control. Have faith that you're not alone. That's the next promise. You're not alone. When you feel like you're in that dark place and that storm of life, it's easy to feel like I'm all by myself. I'm isolated. No one knows what I'm going through. I was reading through the Gospel of Mark with my son Bryce. And this past week, I read the story. I was reminded through the Holy Spirit that when Jesus' disciples were at sea, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and a storm rolled in. They thought they were going to die. The wind, the waves, the storm was so bad. And at 3 in the morning, Jesus comes walking on the water. And when they see the figure in the distance, they became even more afraid. They didn't know it was Jesus. They thought it was a ghost. And that's what happens, right? Like when we're in the storm, even what we perceive, what's true and what's help, we get more afraid of. So we just see through a bad grid. But when Jesus steps onto the boat, this is what He says. Don't be afraid. It is I. Be encouraged. Have courage. I am with you. Know that the Lord is with you. You're not alone. He is with you. You have to have faith that God's presence is with you, even during the dark, lonely times in life. Third promise, God is faithful. Even when we're not faithful, God is faithful and God is good. Hold on to that truth. Next, God cares about what you go through. He really does. Isn't that wonderful that we serve a personal God that cares what we go through? A lot of times we think He's so distant and He's oblivious to what we face in life. But Jesus, Scripture says that He was tried and tempted to everything that we go to. And I would advocate that He's gone through more than what you and I have faced. His best friend was beheaded. People lied about Him, accused Him, attacked Him, gossiped about Him. His own closest friends betrayed Him. He suffered more physical agony than we could ever imagine, but He never gave up. He endured the cross for you. His love was so great. But when you go through something so bad, remember that Jesus understands. He cares. He loves you. And then finally, I felt like the Holy Spirit asking me to remind you that God wants to restore your joy. You're in a dark place. It feels like evening. He's seen the mourning. He's seen the grieving. But have faith and by hope that He's going to turn that grieving into joy. Your laughter will return. God will turn it around. Trust in Him. Trust in His timing. That He wants to exchange that fear for love. He wants to exchange that worry for peace. He wants to exchange that anxiety for sound mind. That's what Scripture says in 1 Timothy, right? 2 Timothy Chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So no, your fear, the worry, the anxiety, depression, it does not come from God, but of power and of love and of sound mind. First, have faith in God's promises. Next, have faith in God's presence. Have faith in God's presence. You are not alone. But maybe you're spending too much time and you need to stop listening to the negative voices that you're hearing about in the news or the social media. You might need to just disconnect and turn all these other things off and get in the Word of God and anchor your soul to what's truth found in God's Word. You need to start reading about the Hall of Faith heroes in Hebrews 11 and turn off the Hallmark Channel. That's right. Somebody had to say it. That was not spontaneous. That was not anointed. I couldn't wait all week to share that word with you. Those of you who are booing me, don't get mad at me if you're convicted of the Holy Spirit. The same probably applies to ESPN, all right? All right. Have faith in God's presence. It's true. How do you keep your way pure? By hiding God's word in your heart. When you see the value and you can say, I'm going to be so devoted to the Lord and I'm going to fill my mind and my heart and my soul with God's truth and I'm going to understand more about God's character and his nature and the promises and allow his scripture to strengthen who I am. That's how your faith gets stronger. Your faith becomes stronger. That's what Hebrews says. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from what? Hearing, and hearing from what? The Word of God. So when you're consistently in the Word of God, in your devotional time, in your abide time, and not just reading it and forgetting it, but you're meditating on it, and you're memorizing verses, and the Holy Spirit will use you when you are tempted to have worry, you're tempted to have that panic attack, that God's going to go hit that pause button and quote the Word of God. And you stand up under it, and God's going to provide a way out, and you're going to become stronger in your faith. Have faith in God's presence. Next. Have faith in God's plans. God, you must trust, if you're his follower, if you're his child, that God knows what he's doing, that he has a plan, that his plan is not always ours plan, right? And in this life, we're going to have trouble. There's going to be some ups, hopefully more ups, good, better, but there's going to be times that they're not going to go our way, right? We're going to have a crisis in life. Can you trust and have faith in God? That all things, Scripture says, all things work together for the good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. All includes the good and the bad. And right now, you need to embrace the Jeremiah 29:11 promise, which says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. You need to believe that. Because the enemy has tried to lie to you. Don't allow the enemy's lies to penetrate your heart and mind. Because some of you have been resentment and you've been angry at God. And God's a big God and he can handle it. But it's not truth. You blamed God for things that have happened in your life. But no, God's thoughts about you are good. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that good? Isn't that scripture that God wants you to be encouraged with hope and peace? He has a plan for your life. Now, I want to share with you some things that I know God's plan could be different for every single one of us, because we're all at different places in our journey, in our race, or some of us are in a trial right now. Some of you are okay, and I hope you're taking good notes because God wants to use you to encourage someone who is suffering. But I want to just share with you in a very real, practical way. Oftentimes, God's plan will involve, and if we were just sitting together at a table in a booth at Taco C, I would listen to you. And if you were in a place of depression and it's not ending, I would say to you, get help. I would look at you in the eye and I would say, get help. Don't isolate yourself. Don't try to keep it to yourself. Guys, you struggle with this more than our ladies, all right? Asking for help is not weakness. There's times in our life we need to ask and get help. And if you're in a place of depression, I strongly encourage you to get a professional Christian counselor or a doctor to help you. And you may say, well, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. Get help. I want to invite you. I know we've started just a couple of weeks ago our Freedom Recovery on Tuesday, but the reason why we're doing it is to help you as our friends. When you're suffering and you're in pain, we open up the doors at 5:30. We have a meal at 6:30 to get started. And if you're struggling with a hurt, an addiction, a stronghold in your life, if you're struggling with depression or anxiety, would you please come? And would you just confide into somebody? We want to be your friend. You don't have to tell everybody, but you need to tell somebody. And it's not just venting. You say, hey, I'm in a dark place. What is the wise next step? What is something that I can do just to kind of, man, just maybe start over and do some things that are normal again? This is why you need to belong to a small group. Because when you're in a place of pain and discouragement, you need to have believers to encourage you, build you up, say, hey, you're not alone. And listen to the voices of some people that you can trust. Listen to mom. Don't just say, mom, you don't understand. I don't want to hear another verse. I don't want to hear this. Because that's what happens in your mind, right? You just replay the negative, and you can't think straight. You got to have good self-awareness and just be teachable and open. Get help. Get help. Next part of God's plan could involve you choosing, or I'm going to say could, it should involve you choosing the right thoughts. Choose good thoughts. Because worry, depression, anxiety is playing the bad thoughts over and over in our mind. And our mind is where the battlefield happens. The mind is where the fight happens. And so we replay all the, and we think the worst, and we think of only of what we can see. And it's over and over. And the enemy is doing a number on our minds that affect negative thoughts will lead to negative actions, which will lead to negative habits, which will lead to negative company. And it's just a downward spiral down a very dark path. And you're in a storm, and there's no wonder you can see the light. By faith, you have to say, I'm not going to keep thinking negative thoughts, and I'm going to start choosing good thoughts. I want to challenge you as a church family to memorize this passage of Scripture this week. Memorize it. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So when you're in a dark place and you're tempted to worry and replay that, you stop yourself. I know I don't feel it, but I'm not going to make a decision based on how I felt, but I'm going to make a decision, and I'm going to have a good thought pattern based on the Word of God. And so, God, lead me. Remind me of all your blessings in the past. Remind me of all the things I can be grateful for, because if you delivered me in the past, you're going to deliver me from the future. I've got stronger faith than what I used to be. I've been tried. I've gone through the battles. I've gone through the storms, and maybe, just maybe, you're allowing me to go through this so my faith can be stronger for the future. My faith can be stronger for someone else who's going through a difficult time. Trust the Lord. Have faith in Him, and His plans involve you choosing good thoughts. This next one, this is part of the plan that may not sound very spiritual, but don't tune me out, all right? If you're in a dark place, if you're depressed or discouraged, can I just tell you to get outside? Go take a walk, all right? Maybe the most sacred thing that you can do is allow the sun to hit your skin. Exercise. Get the heart rate up a little bit, because your physical health will lead to good mental health. You need to get outside and just take a walk. Get outside. And then finally, trust in God's plan. Again, this is going to seem counterproductive or counterintuitive. Help someone else in need. I know you feel like you just are me-focused. No one understands. You've isolated yourself. And the last thing you want to do is help someone else. You want to be helped. I can't explain it. But something happens in the supernatural realm. Something happens in the spiritual realm. I think God honors the faith when He sees you suffering. You say, I'm going to go beyond my suffering, and by faith, I'm going to help someone else in need, because love finds a need and meets it. I'm going to trust that God wants to help me help someone else. And Stephanie and I started an inner city student ministry for 3 years in Little Rock. And it was a tough area of town. And we had a friend from our home church that was really struggling with depression. She was stuck. Fear was holding her back. I said, I want to invite you to come with me Thursday night. just come with me to this inner city student ministry and be a friend to somebody. So she came with us, and she began to listen and observe. And over the course of that night, something changed in her heart. And on her way back, I said, well, how did things go? She goes, you know what? I just thought my problems were big. But when I began to look at all of these kids and how poor they were and how hardly any of them had a dad, and I began to minister to them and pray for them and hug them and encourage them, I just felt like God's presence, and that my Father was doing the same thing for me. Can I encourage you, if you feel stuck, when you don't feel like you don't have the energy to help someone else, by faith, help someone else. I want to share with you a great opportunity that we've been doing every year for the last decade. It's called Love in Action. It's that one day in the year. I mean, we do it throughout the year and helping those who are in need. But this is a concentrated, full-blown day where our church family gets out of our seats and onto the streets. So for the last several months, we've been communicating with ministries in the inner city and the west side and really all over San Antonio. These are partners that we financially support, but we want to come alongside of them. And we're asking, what are projects that we can meet? What are things that we can do? So our dream, and if you're stuck, if you're discouraged, be a part of an army of over 1,000 volunteers on this day that you can be a part, and you just watch what happens in your attitude and your heart. Something will shift. It will help you. This is part of God's plan. So I want to encourage you, even in your worship guide, go to this link, register you, your family, and be a part of this day as we serve those who are in need. Have faith in God's promise. Have faith in God's presence. Have faith in God's plans. And have faith in God's power. Have faith that His power is bigger than what you're going through. Have faith that God is bigger than your greatest fear.